Chapter 41.
It was when I was plodding up Mr. K's field for the ninth time that it began to occur to me that this wasn't going to be my day. For some time now I had been an LVI, the important owner of a little certificate informing whosoever it may concern that James Herriot, MRCBS, was a local veterinary inspector of the Ministry of Agriculture and Fisheries. It meant that I was involved in a lot of routine work, like clinical examination and tuberculin testing. It also highlighted something which I had been suspecting for some time. The Dales farmer's attitude to time was different from my own. It had been all right when I was calling on them to see a sick animal. They were usually around waiting for me, and the beast would be confined in some building when I arrived. It was very different, however, when I sent them a card saying I was coming to inspect their dairy cows or test their herd. It stated quite clearly on the card that the animal must be assembled indoors and that I would be there at a certain time, and I planned my day accordingly. 15 minutes or so for a clinical and anything up to several hours for a test, depending on the size of the herd. If I was kept waiting for 10 minutes at every clinical while they got the cows in from the field, it meant simply that after 6 visits I was running an hour late. So when I drove up to Mr. K's farm for a tuberculin test and found the cows tied up in their stalls, I breathed a sigh of relief. We were through them in no time at all, and I thought I was having a wonderful start to the day when the farmer said he had only half a dozen young heifers to do to complete their job. It was when I left the building and saw the group of shaggy roans and reds grazing contentedly at the far end of a large field that I felt the old foreboding. "I thought you'd have them inside, Mr. K," I said apprehensively. Mr. K tapped out his pipe onto his palm, mixed the sodden dottle with a few strands of villainous-looking twist, and crammed it back into the bowl. "Nay, nay," he said, puffing appreciatively. "I don't like to put them in on a grand hot day like this. We'll drive them up to that little house." He pointed to a tumble-down grey stone barn at the summit of the long, steeply sloping pasture, and blew out a cloud of choking smoke. "Won't take many minutes." At his last sentence, a cold hand clutched at me. I'd heard those dreadful words so many times before, but maybe it would be all right this time. We made our way to the bottom of the field and got behind the heifers.
"Gosh! Gosh!"
cried Mr. K.
"Cush! Cush!"
I added encouragingly, slapping my hands against my thighs. The heifers stopped pulling the grass and regarded us with mild interest, their jaws moving lazily. Then, in response to further cries, they began to meander casually up the hill. We managed to coax them to the door of the barn, but there they stopped. The leader put her head inside for a moment, then turned suddenly and made a dash down the hill. The others followed suit immediately, and though we danced about and waved our arms, they ran past us as if we weren't there. I looked thoughtfully at the young beasts thundering down the slope, their tails high, kicking out their heels like mustangs. They were enjoying this new game. Down the hill once more, and again the slow wheedling up to the door, and again the sudden breakaway. This time one of them tried it on her own, and as I galloped vainly to and fro trying to turn her, the others charged with glee through the gap and down the slope again. It was a long, steep hill, and as I trudged up for the third time with the sun blazing on my back, I began to regret being so conscientious about my clothes. In the instructions to the new LVIs, the ministry had been explicit that they expected us to be properly attired to carry out our duties. I had taken it to heart and rigged myself out in the required uniform, but I realize now that the long oilskin coat and Wellingtons was not an ideal outfit for the job in hand. The sweat was trickling into my eyes and my shirt was beginning to cling to me. When, for the third time, I saw the retreating backs careering joyously down the hill, I thought it was time to do something about it.
"Just a minute," I called to the farmer. "I'm getting a bit warm."
I took off the coat, rolled it up, and placed it on the grass well away from the barn. and as I made up a neat pile of my syringe, the box of tuberculin, my calipers, scissors, notebook and pencil, the thought kept intruding that I was being cheated in some way. After all, ministry work was easy. Any practitioner could tell you that. You didn't have to get up in the middle of the night, you had nice set hours, and you never really had to exert yourself. In fact, it was money for old rope. A pleasant relaxation from the real thing. I wiped my streaming brow and stood for a few seconds panting gently. This just wasn't fair. We started again, and at the fourth visit to the barn, I thought we had won because all but one of the heifers strolled casually inside. But that last one just wouldn't have it. We cushed imploringly, waved, and even got near enough to poke at its rump, but it stood in the entrance regarding the interior with deep suspicion. Then the heads of its mates began to reappear in the doorway, and I knew we had lost again. Despite my frantic dancing and shouting, they wandered out one by one before joining again in their happy downhill dash. This time I found myself galloping down after them in an agony of frustration. We had another few tries during which the heifers introduced touches of variation by sometimes breaking away halfway up the hill, or occasionally trotting round the back of the barn and peeping at us coyly from behind the old stones, before frisking to the bottom again. After the eighth descent, I looked appealingly at Mr. K, who was relighting his pipe calmly and didn't appear to be troubled in any way. My time schedule was in tatters, but I don't think he had noticed that we had been going on like this for about 40 minutes. "Look, we're getting nowhere," I said. "I've got a lot of other work waiting for me. Isn't there anything more we can do?"